Dear beloved family, friends, once again I have this great blessing, opportunity and bounty to speak to one of our, should I say, relatives or close loved ones of Shidroch John, Mrs. Baga. I'm speaking tonight, it's almost dear niece, Mrs. Hoda Golestane Hosseini, doctor. She's a dentist doctor in Florida. She has wonderful memories. I want you to go ahead and start your wonderful utterance.
I'm so blessed. I feel very blessed to have this opportunity to share my very scant but very profound memories that I have of my dearest aunt, Chole Shidroch, I used to call her.
Yes.
Her memory is etched very deeply in my thoughts, and I have very strong feelings for her. Number one, because of her courage, but little did I know when I was with her as a young child, her amazing quality of courage and steadfastness was not one that was apparent when I was a young child. When I remember her, probably my closest memories of her was when I was 6 years old and we'd recently returned from England. I only remember Chole Shidroch in the beginning as a pack of the three sisters, daughters of Rohani Hanum. Whenever we would see them, it would pretty much be a big family affair. And Chole Rohani John, our great aunt, and the three daughters and the family, I remember we would all get together. I would remember seeing them. This is, I guess, we're talking about 1966, 1967.
Yes.
I remember her in the home. I remember her very vividly as my great-grandmother who had just passed away, as is John. And I remember her kind of being very much in charge. Her leadership qualities, I guess, were pretty strong in the family then in terms of her coordination and an amazing spirit. What I remember her most when I'm looking at her picture right now in a blue dress that she has, which I think most of us has as a memory from her, that she always had a beautiful smile and she always had this jovial nature about her. I never remember her being, you know, in a bad mood or frowning or anything, even though when Muja would give her such a hard time. And I have to tease my cousin here, because Merat and Manushita, I remember, were the easy ones for her, and Mujan would always kind of be bothering some other cousin in the family, and probably most likely me. But anyway, then as I scan my memory, and honestly, what I am sharing with you, Daejun, is real. It is real as the chair I'm sitting on right now. And it was very important for me, I think, on her, when I heard the news of her passing, I made a special effort to try and go back in my memory bank and try and pull out any bits and pieces that I could remember. And I'm you know, just going back 25 years almost and trying to do the same thing I did then. Then as I got older, and this old family get-togethers, I remember, you know, it was quite often, and then we would later on go to Chole John's home up in the northern part of the town, and Chole Shidroch's house, I remember, was a few houses to the west of her house. Am I right?
Yes.
It was pretty close to Chole John's house. I remember very clearly her home. I remember she had a Baha'i meeting at her home. I can't remember what kind. It definitely wasn't a fireside. It must have been some sort of meeting, and she beautifully played the piano. And it was the first time that I had heard Baha'i Persian chant in something other than the traditional chant. She
yes.
had this style that we're all too familiar with, which is more of a, you know, Delkesh style singing. Mm. Were more of a modern, contemporary music. And I remember her singing and playing the piano, and it was just so beautiful. and she had great command of it, and she would press those keys with a lot of, you know, passion. I remember that.
She taught all of us.
Almost, you know, whenever I want to think who in the family was like a militant type Baha'i, she kind of comes to my mind.
Yes.
And, you know, we have our, we all kind of have different types of Baha'i characteristics in our larger Baha'i family, and our immediate family. And militancy is something that strikes me as something that best describes her in terms of her passion, her faith, her conviction. I remember how she really, there used to be such a great competition in terms between the three sisters, with Khalashid Mehra, Khalashiva, with who can make the best sweets, who can make the most beautiful flower arrangements, who can make the best dishes.
They're all talented.
And they were all so talented. And I can't say that I remember one being better than the other, but all three were good. And Sidvash was a little bit younger then. But,
lots younger.
Yeah. And I just remember Khalashidok very, very clearly. I just remembered how her house was set up. I know it was on the second story. I know that pretty much by the time I left Iran, which was when I was about 14 and a half, and then I would come back and visit home like once a year. I would come during summer holidays. And every time I would come back, obviously I would have a great opportunity of seeing her. And I believe as I was getting older and Khalashidrok's responsibility, because she was the am I correct? She's the eldest of the sisters.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, she was, you know, she seemed to have more responsibility.
Yes.
And again, you know, she was a leader. She was definitely a leader, somebody to look up to.
Yes.
So we have the lapse, and I have a lapse in my memory up until when I remember I'm being in the U.S. I mean, sorry, in the U.K. I was studying in England, and I remember I got a phone call from one of the Baha'i friends in England, and she told me, I just want to convey to you that your Aunt Shidroch is one. She was calling on behalf of the MFA of Britain, Great Britain. She told me, I wanted to let you know because, you know, you're a family member, and I just want you to know that she's been imprisoned. She's amongst those prisoners that they have currently taken. They've abducted, and they don't know about their whereabouts. And I remember it was definitely it was during winter in England, and I was very, very sad about it. I remember very, very, very clearly the eve of her passing.
Her martyrdom.
Yes, of her martyrdom. I'm so proud that she passed to the Abha kingdom, and she ascended to the most spiritual kingdom with, and I'm proud to be even associated with her.
With absolute conviction, steadfastness.
Absolute, absolute. I remember the night before she was martyred, I took the prayer book, the Baha'i prayer book, to bed, and all night I decided I was going to memorize the Tablet of Ahmad. And this is genuine because I told my mom this 2 days later, and she couldn't believe it. And I actually memorized the Tablet of Ahmad that night. The next morning, this very lovely Baha'i friend called me, and she said that she had, it was known that she had been martyred, and she had ascended to the Abha kingdom.
Executed and martyred.
Yes.
Yeah. So with all of that, I just, you know, I was, I have no, the only thing I can do that I know will make her smile in the next world. Whenever I teach, I always mention her name.
You dedicate
whenever,
partly to her.
I always dedicate. Whenever I talk to my kids regarding the Baha'i station of martyrdom, and they can feel it more because they have seen tears that have run down my face thinking about their great aunt, whom they should look up to and they should emulate, because it's something tangible and touchable and so close to them. Yes. If not 150 years ago, it's recent.
Yes.
And whenever I have a fireside in our home, I always think of her. And whenever we are moved as a family to want to say a prayer without even realizing it, we all break into the chant which she taught us. And so she's so those are my most genuine, clear, and most vivid memories.
Wonderful. Let me ask you.
I always praise to her qualities. I always, you know, what they say, if you ask for the concourse on high, whatever you ask, that they can. Whenever I'm in the most difficult spot, or whenever I feel most weak, whenever my faith is shaken, because I'm human and I'm not perfect, and as a Baha'i I'm constantly supposed to strive to do better, I always call on her soul to pick me up.
Wonderful.
I feel she's close to me, very, very close to me. I know she's here right now with me. And whenever I see her wonderful children at conferences or whatever, I can't help but hold them close and want to be able to just feel her presence again, even if it's through them.
Well, I have a proposition or two to make. Let's for 1 minute imagine that Chale Shidroch in our dreams, Shidroch Hanom, was not martyred. She's back in the U.S. visiting. She's a guest in your house. What would you ask her or tell her, or what do you think she would ask you? What conversation do you think would take place between the two of you?
I think she would not be very heavy. She would be very lighthearted. Do you know what I'm trying to say? She really had a good sense of humor, and she would like to keep things light, but at the same time she would probably lovingly encourage the fact that we're keeping our tradition of inviting people to our homes for fireside, inviting the Baha'i friends to our home for different celebrations of, you know, like the Hold Baha'i Holy Days. I have no doubt she'd be encouraging me on those things. If I could ask her, what would I ask her? I would ask her to really say prayers, that I would be able to teach better, be more effective. I would ask her to ask. I would ask her to
To intervene on our behalf.
To intervene on my behalf, exactly. To try and fix up the little things.
Really grateful to you for your wonderful thoughts, your feelings, your sentiments, your time, and
for this opportunity. God bless. And Pedro, if you're listening up there,
you're
always in my heart and in my thoughts.
Indeed.